Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Pin Gillette.
Pin Gillette in Las Vegas, Nevada. The music you're hearing is the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra playing a little Latin version of the Penn and Teller theme, the Penn and Teller theme, the Pin Gillette radio theme, whatever you want to call it. It's okay with me. You can go to pennradio.com and get more versions of that music and hear more of Mike Jones whenever you want. Pin Gillette sitting here with Michael Goudeau and walking in the door, I believe, right now. I can see, not walking in the door, walking in the door very, very soon. Oh, it's only Dustin. Walking in the door very soon will be our good friend Chris Angel.
He's probably just going to flash up here, right?
Yeah, flash up here. Boom, he'll be right there. And there Chris Angel is coming in because of all the news. I mean, the front page of the New York Times today, the entire front page of the New York Times, the daily news, Variety, everything, the front page is David Blaine is in a swimming pool for a long time, and he's sick of it. I just saw a sign, you know. David Blaine has competition. He has real competition. I was walking on Fremont Street. Yeah. You know, for those of you who don't know, Fremont Street is the bad section of Las Vegas.
new. It's got those lights and stuff.
Oh yeah, they got lights.
Shay downtown.
And yeah, there was a homeless guy on the street that had a sign that said, "I haven't eaten in a week. I'm freezing. Where's my press agent?" David Blaine has had a huge effect out here. You know. We're going out to New York, 866-313-FREE, 3733, 866-313-FREE, 3733. And, you know, our Cracker Jack team here at the Pin Gillette Show, we really need a correspondent at the David Blaine thing. So if you're anywhere near David Blaine in New York City, go over to the swimming pool and talk to David and knock on his bubble and give us a call. 866-313-FREE, 3733. I think today we're going to be talking about David Blaine. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. David Blaine is, I won't say a friend, because, you know, friend is someone you really know well. But David Blaine is an acquaintance. You know, I've certainly broken bread with him. I've hung out with him. And he's a good guy. We've had some good time talking. He's come to our show, come backstage. So we are going to probably make some jokes that may be less than perfectly respectful and polite to David Blaine, who is kind of a friend of mine. Now, first of all, making fun of your friends is always a-okay. But second of all, and more important, David Blaine, what he wants is for people to talk about his stunts, right?
Yeah.
There's no other purpose for them whatsoever.
Doesn't seem to be.
So as long as we're talking about David Blaine, it seems we can say anything we want. Stupid retard, David! You're just...
anything we want.
I don't know why... okay, there's two questions here. One, why does David Blaine think that everyone is interested in his lower GI tract and his pee? And second of all, why is everyone interested in his lower GI and his pee? You know, there are stories about this David Blaine. Now, David Blaine is in a human aquarium, which, of course, I would call a swimming pool, except that it's warm. So it's a bathtub, okay? There is no magic trick going on whatsoever. You know, and these whole things, they say illusionist, you know, illusionist David Blaine. As far as I can tell, there is no illusion on this whatsoever. He's just in a lot of water. And it turns out this is the thing that's so amazing about David Blaine's tricks. He does stuff. One of the wonderful things about magic is you do stuff that viscerally seems impossible, right? So you do stuff like Lance Burton, your boss, right? Sure. He's there on stage, then he vanishes.
He's gone.
Or he's not on stage, and then he appears. And viscerally, you understand that that violates some sort of basic law of physics and reality. So you are gasping at it. It's amazing. David Blaine goes into a swimming pool, and everybody goes, so what? I've been in a swimming pool. So then he has to send out press releases that goes, no. It really is a stupid idea. It really is a bad idea. Because we're all going, okay, so you're in a swimming pool. So what? He goes, no. But it really is going to screw me up badly. It's going to really screw. And then he has to, like, give us his word that it's a stupid idea and then say he's doing it. It's this weird thing. And that's always surprises me. You know, he went to England and did that starving thing.
Yeah.
You know, wherever he
it's
was.
Like glass box over the tips.
Which I guess there's some illusion there because he's sneaking food. You know, it's the question is, how'd he get the Snickers bar in there? Okay. So it really is sneaking a Snickers bar into a glass box. So there's some sort of trick that's done there.
Maybe we get Lance to do that trick. That'd be good. That's a good stage trick. Watch, I am locked in plexiglass.
And look, I have a Snickers bar. But he was somehow getting food, and it wasn't hard to get food because they would close the thing every night. They would bring this big derrick. They'd bring this big, like, derrick up, you know, and then they would block out the box. So it was pretty easy for him to sneak him down through a chamber, and he could spend, you know, an hour having a Snickers bar and having himself a good time and then go back in. So I don't know exactly how he did it, but there's some trick to that. And England hated it. England hated it.
Yes, they did.
Hated it. They threw things at him. They called him horrible names. And he really destroyed his career in England by not eating for 44 days?
Yeah,
doesn't
44.
Matter. Isn't that the... Yeah, okay.
That's how old he was.
That's not how old he was.
I thought it was.
I think he's 33 years old.
Well, he decided to go an extra 11 days.
You just made that up.
No, I didn't make that up.
And it bothered me. It bothered me. No, you did make it up.
No.
It wasn't nothing to do with his age.
It was 44 days because
right.
of his age.
Not because of his age. He's 33 years old.
I could be lying.
Okay, but you're not. Okay.
I'm not making it up.
You're lying.
Somebody else wrote it.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I found that a little bit bothersome because people are starving, and there wasn't any sort of conquering of that. He just got skinny. Then he got fat again. Then he got skinny again. So yo-yo dieting is really David Blaine's career.
I don't know, with magic tricks went from being death-defying to uncomfortable. You know, we used to tie somebody to the train tracks and try to escape before the train hit them a minute from now, and all of a sudden, now it's, I'm going to lay here while ants make me really itchy. I don't That's his next stunt. I'm going to sit in this fire ant.
Well, he also did flagpole sitting,
yeah.
You know, which is a guy people did in like the 1920s and 30s. They broke his record over and over and over again. And the reason we're excited about having Chris Angel in is that Chris actually did a better version of this stunt just a few years ago in New York. But what amazes me, okay, so England just goes, David, you're jive, get out of here. But the thing that amazes me about David Blaine is I can understand this being a spectacle in, like, North Dakota. I can understand this being a spectacle someplace where they don't see celebrities. But the fact that this is in New York City, where you have the most important stars and artists in the world live in New York City, they're walking along. You can be walking in the streets of New York and see superstars, and yet people are lining up to see this guy in the bubble. And we got a few calls.
We do phone calls.
Anybody down there or just people that want to talk about it?
People that want to talk about it. We have people that want to talk about it.
We'll let them do that.
You know, I think there are probably fewer swimming pools per capita in Manhattan
than there are in Vegas. So in Vegas,
so kind of excited about that, maybe. Look, a guy in water.
Well, isn't that something? Isn't that something?
He can get all the way down there.
Also, wasn't there some sort of article about how he had to come out for medical attention, but he was still going to do the whole thing? I don't understand that at all. Anyway, I think did he come out last night for medical attention or That's Saturday it. Night? Some of the articles said that. I don't know. Well, of course he would come out because no one's watching him in the middle of the night. He sneaks out. So, but, you know, and his hands are disgusting. And, you know, the thing is that Keith Richards falls out of a tree. Keith Richards falls out of a tree. And the whole world says, Keith, you're stupid. What were you doing up in a tree? You know, Brian Wilson, you know, starts acting really weird. And we go, Brian, how stupid were you eating that much acid? And then we have David Blaine, they go, oh, he's overcoming this. It's stupider than being in a tree. This is a man who is publicly stupider than Keith Richards, which is really remarkable. If you want to talk about overcoming human odds, Keith Richards had chemical help being that stupid. So he's up a coconut tree. Let's take a phone call. Let's see. Maybe someone can explain to us why this is so cool.
Let's talk to line one. This is Shane.
Hey, Shane, what's up, man?
Hey, Pam, how you doing? Michael, what's up?
Great. How are you?
Never been better, boss.
I am a school teacher in New York City.
Uh-huh.
I teach high school history.
Yep.
And I basically instructed most of my students, if they have any free time, to go over and to walk up on the platform and moon this guy.
And were they doing it?
Well, I started today. I'm going to keep it up because I didn't realize that he was actually in a bubble for, you know, a week already. So I'm kind of behind the times on this one. So I put it out there. I got to find out tomorrow if anybody's actually going to do it.
Well, because it's glass, they can not only do the moon, they can also do the ever-popular pressed ham, can't they? Can't they actually push the buttocks against the glass? And because if any of your students are afraid that maybe they have a fat ass, because it is convex from his point of view, their ass will look very small and inviting. So even your big-ass students may not be perfectly attractive. Pushing your ass for a pressed ham against a concave surface, David Blaine might find that very attractive.
You know, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you better start thinking. And if you're a high school teacher and you aren't thinking about your students' asses, you're the only one who's not. What's happening here?
Steve. Friend, you know, girlfriend, something, right?
I don't know. We're on somebody's call now.
When they're ready to go, when you give them the whole, you know, make sure your radio's off. You know.
Okay, cool, we're hearing Rudy give the instruction. When they're ready to go, make sure your radio is off. 866-313-3733 penradio@gmail.com penradio.com. Goudreau's excited. He just gave me the hang loose phone signal. Let's take it, Goudreau. If you're excited, take it.
Quick, let's go to line 4. This is Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Hey, Penn.
It sounds like you're outdoors, Amy. Are you actually with David Blaine?
No, I wish.
Okay.
No, I'm calling from underwater. Wait, I'm in my car. I'm LIE, and I just happen to be heading in to see my parents.
Okay.
I just wanted to, Penn, I saw your show in Vegas. It was so great. And,
oh, thanks so much.
I had a picture with you from after the show. It was a super show.
Well, thank you so much.
No, did you say so what?
I said, thank you so much. So much. Not so what.
So what?
Get yourself better cell service. I was bred better than that. You know, my mom, if she ever found out that someone had complimented me and I said, so what, she would come back from the grave and kick my ass. I said, thank you very much, Amy. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and thank you for the great show. Now, the thing about David Blaine is I don't understand why guys hate on him so much.
Okay.
I was actually surprised that you said that you were acquaintances with him, because I feel like when you went on Howard Stern, like you just had like horrible things to say about him. And I feel like everybody, first of all, these illusions I think are just to get him attention.
Absolutely. And he's getting that.
And he's a really good, I think he's a really good magician other than that, but I'm not a magician. I know other magicians hate on him, but I think it's really because of this. I think it's because he gets chicks. And Chris Angel is like a terrific magician, illusionist, whatever. Like, he does great illusions, but he personally like skeeves me out horribly.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I would date him on a bet. I would not date him on a really big bet.
How old are you?
How old am I? I'm about David Blaine's age.
About David Blaine's age. I don't know. I was trying to talk about that. That demographic 44. There. I think that's definitely true. There's no doubt. Magicians historically have been trolls. Houdini was 5'2", a stocky little man, not attractive by any stretch of the imagination. Siegfried and Roy, I think you can understand, not very attractive. Penn and Teller, I don't need to say that. Certainly not attractive men. Lance Burton, barely attractive. Copperfield, you know, all these guys, not attractive people. Of everybody involved, I think David Blaine is the best looking, and I would say Chris Angel is second, but you said he skeeves you out, so I guess you don't agree.
It's not, like, David Blaine isn't even that good looking, and P.S.
Exactly, I couldn't agree more, exactly. He is running the look special Olympics. He's not good looking compared to a professional, but he's good looking compared to me, for the love of Christ. That's all I'm saying.
A fine looking man, and I have had a crush on you at points.
But now, this is what I wanted to get to. This is all that matters. But I do want to answer.
Excuse the data.
he's really charismatic. I interviewed
him. He's really charismatic.
He's charismatic. At a time when I was very heartbroken, I felt like he was like my little Yoda, and I went and I stared at him in his little tank when he was buried, because like it had some resonance for me personally.
But did you go when he was buried? Did you go and stand over him with a skirt with no underwear?
No, I did not do that.
Because, you know, women did do that. So you were not in the forefront, you know. He was telling us about, you know, when two magicians get together, like I'm talking to David Blaine, we don't ask what was it like underwater, under the ground. We don't ask how'd you do the trick. All we ask about is how many club chicks came in with skirts with no underwear and stood above you. And the answer is it was single digits, which broke my heart. If I was going to be in that little box for a while, I would certainly want to go into double digits. But I want to, Amy, I want to answer your charge. I went on Howard Stern to make fun of David Blaine the first time because that's my job. What David Blaine does for a living does these things. I go in and make fun of him because just like his job, that's my job. And the reason that magicians get so down on David Blaine, and you have to understand this from an industry point of view, from other artists, he can't do magic. He doesn't do
that.
He's
can't
never,
be true. That can't be does, true. His up close magic is just fine. It's
okay,
very
but usually
good.
It's absolutely good. What I'm saying is he cannot do a magic show, and the tricks that he does up close. Have you seen him do close up for you personally?
Yes.
Okay, you have. What did he do for you? What did he do for you?
Oh, he did some card tricks. Which one was it? It was the one where he sees the card, and then he turns around, and then you pick the card behind his back, and then he turns around, and he never puts them in front of him, and then he knows which card it was.
Okay. That trick, there's a book called Royal Road to Card Magic.
I know. But
I'm telling you, Amy, you're going to let me finish on this one.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You personally, and I don't mean someone like you, Amy, I mean you personally can learn that trick in 6 minutes maximum.
I can't. I tried. I can't do it. I can't do card magic. My hands are too small.
Your hands aren't too small. What I'm saying is I think David Blaine is very good looking. I think he's a superstar, and I think his TV shows are wonderful. But the fact is I know people who've spent their whole life doing what's called finger flinging and are really good. And from that point of view, just that point of view, nothing else. It's like saying you say Tom Cruise is this, he's this, he's this, and this, and I say, well, he can't weld. You know, I'm talking about something you don't give a good goddamn about. All you care about is picturing being in that tank with him naked, and I understand that that's what you dig about him, and he looks good and everything else. I'm talking about one specific thing. He cannot do whatever that is, spot welding. That's not something he's good at. That's all I'm saying. And if you're backstage with David Blaine, and you're sitting around with a bunch of guys with cards, and you hand the cards to David Blaine, he won't do anything. That doesn't mean he can't blow away a woman like you who's fully lubricated just looking at him. It just means when he's around the guys who spent their lives doing that, he's not that good with a deck of cards. That's all I'm saying. It's very small. It's circumscribed. It's a little tiny thing I'm saying, that if you've seen someone like Jamie Ian Swiss or Mike Close or Eric Mead who are really good with a deck of cards, they would blow you away. But you would not want to screw them. And you can want to screw anybody you want. You can put on knee pads and go to see him do magic tricks. If that's the way, oh, pick a card. Oh, I'll just lay it on top of your head. He could do that. It would be fine. But I'm talking about a very, very, very important, very, he just came in. Stay on the line, Amy. Come in here. Quick, get in here. Get in here. Isn't that Chris? Chris is in here? Chris.
We
gotta get in front of the microphone. Put your headphones on. This is Chris Angel. Chris Angel just walked. She just said that David Blaine got her fully lubricated, and you were skeevy.
You know something? That's actually a compliment, because I'm sick and tired of people saying that, you know, I'm all about my looks and not about what I do.
You want us to love you for
David Blaine picks
really
up chicks.
Tired of that.
Well, you know what? You know what's kind of funny is, like, you know, David Blaine, which, you know, I give him a lot of credit for what he's doing. but is known because of who he dates. I want to be known for what I do.
Ooh, see? There you go, smarty pants communist.
First of all,
Amy, thanks.
David Blaine's not known for who he dates. He dated like two famous people.
And are you smoking crack right now?
Huh?
You showed up a little late in this. Sorry, Chris.
I apologize, but okay. Whatever you say, I appreciate your kind words.
What she said was, you got to remember, if you turn on Amy, I'm going to turn on you because she said she thought I was really hot, David Blaine was hot, and you were scheming.
So I agree with that. Actually, that's true. Yes. Yes. Penn is the poster boy for the best-looking magician out there.
All
7 foot of them.
I'm going to kick your ass. We got to go to a commercial. We'll be back after this. Thank you so much, Amy. 866-313-FREE. We'll be back with more Chris Angel. This is Penn Jillette at Psychedelic Pandemonium here in Las Vegas. We just had that last caller was talking, and while she was talking about Chris Angel, he walked in. I guess we're talking mostly about David Blaine. 866-313-FREE, 3733. I was talking about feeling, I think we're okay saying anything about him because all he cares about is attention. He's over in the corner holding his breath, and as long as mom and dad are talking about him, it doesn't matter if we're talking about sending him to military school. He's very happy.
Well, that's what he wants.
Now, when you did the thing in New York, how long were you underwater?
I know exactly what he's going through because I did it in 2002. I stayed underwater for 24 hours, didn't have anybody massaging my hands, had a mask which left a permanent scar on my nose. I wasn't able to change masks, was in a very confined area. It was 6 foot tall. I'm 6 foot, literally probably about 24 inches by 24 inches. And was upside down for the first hour, had chains, about 10 pounds of chains, locks, shackles on me for the whole entire duration, was in the middle of Times Square, surrounded by the public, Good Morning America. And after the 24th hour, held my breath and attempted to make my escape completely live on television, live for the public. And so I know, and you know something, in all fairness, he was gracious. When I was in a tank, he came by and, you know, was very kind by doing that.
They so knock on the glass because fish hate that.
I know what he's going through, and I just, for the life of me, I don't understand why he is doing something that's been done before. I don't know if he's running out of stuff.
What I wanted to ask you was, what you did, was there a trick?
At the end, there was.
Okay.
Yes, I will not do something outside of hanging by fish hooks.
Because a lot of people use that caveat. I mean, I think Rumsfeld, just in his speech, said, we will not lie. Well, with the exception of fish hooks.
But outside of that, I won't do a demonstration unless it incorporates my off arm. Otherwise, it's just like meaningless because anybody can really do that stuff, you know. People are used to standing on their feet 24 hours making a deadline. So it's like, unless you're going to do something provocative, incorporate something
that's
part of your art form and that's something that they haven't seen before. And, you know, just to cut to the chase, I respect David. You know, he is a creation of television and did a fantastic job doing what he does. I'm willing, and I've said this before, I think his biggest fear is me because I'm the real deal. What you see is what you get. Anytime, any place, I'm willing to take every dollar that the proceeds come in, donate it to a children's charity like Make-A-Wish. I'm willing to put everything on the line because, you know, the truth of the matter is he talked a big game in the public about me. It was on the radio and, you know, but when it came down to it, we tried to contact him to set it up. He wanted no part of it. So I'm just the type of person that, you know, what I do is what I say. What I say is what I do. And I just expect people to, you know, be the same. And unfortunately, he wasn't. But anytime, you know, I'll quit my career if I lose. I'm totally serious. I mean,
anything he'll do, you'll do.
Anything he wants to do, anytime, any place. You know, let's just do it and get it over with.
It's so good he's underwater and can't hear you.
Well, hopefully he'll send him a tape. Send him a tape.
Do we have someone in Lincoln
Center? No, we lost the guy at Lincoln Center. We've got to get somebody in there.
You know, this is what I find so interesting because I'm a nut about this stuff. You know, I have a point of view very different from other magicians because I think that to many people, and I don't understand this, but I certainly respect it, as long as there's a spectacle, that's cool.
Right.
But I always like to have there be some sort of heart or meaning behind it, even if there's not a trick. You know, Houdini, a man from Budapest,
right.
An American immigrant at the stretching across the turn of the century. You know, in the early part of the 20th century, he went out and did these stunts, and his sentence was, "I defy the jails of the world to hold me. I defy the jails of the world to hold me." And he wasn't speaking for himself to get attention. Certainly was doing that, but on top of that, he was speaking for all Americans. And I think for Jews especially, but for all Americans, talking about this kind of liberation and throwing off the chains and all the crazy stuff that was happening in Europe and World War I and all that stuff, he was talking about self-liberation. Mm-hmm. He referred to himself as a self-liberationist. And I really love that stuff. I love that picture. You show Times Square and you show Houdini hanging in a straitjacket and thousands of immigrants watching him up there symbolically casting this off. And I cry every time I see that picture.
What you love about Houdini and why he's still synonymous, you know, when he died in 1926 and to this day he's still the biggest name in magic, is because he connected to people on an emotional level. When people saw Houdini, as you said, get out of that straitjacket, maybe I can get out of poverty.
Yeah.
Maybe I can better my life, make it more richer because this little guy did these incredible things. So there was an emotional connection. And when you have that connection, that's the truest form of magic, that feeling that you get. And it doesn't have to be about tricks or puzzles. It has to be something greater than that, like a song.
But the thing is that with David Blaine, he's obviously, you know, you can say it's just Slow News Days because he's gotten lucky on Slow News Days, you know.
Right.
But you can say that, but people are lining up to see him. And what bothers me about it, if I were to be completely honest, and there's really no reason to be, but is that I don't get that feeling. I wish something about his stunts made my heart pound. You
know,
you see
people
on CNN, and some people get really excited about this, and I wish I could share some of that.
Right. Well, I think it's because it's the same, you know, thing of why do people stop, you know, at a car wreck? You know, they want to see. It's not knowing that they want to know. So, of course, they're going to take an opportunity to go pass and check it out. And my demonstrations that I did in New York, as well, you know, people had that same fascination. They want to see what you're doing. But I've always tried to incorporate my art form at the end of the day. You know, I think that's, as an artist, you know, I have to give somebody something to see that they haven't seen before or couldn't do themselves.
And I also, it's very weird, but I really like there to be some sort of conquering and some sort of trick. You know, we do the bullet catch, you do the bullet catch. People get shot all the time. And there's something about being able to be shot and not be injured that's kind of beautiful and transcendent. He's in the water, and what's happening to him in the water is exactly what would happen to anyone in the water. You know, if he were in the water and there were nothing happening to his hands, he weren't getting pruny at all. If he weren't getting pruny, of course, he'd have diabetes.
Diabetes, right?
Okay, but that's not important. if that stuff weren't happening to him, it'd be some sort of trick. That's the thing about being in the box and not eating. If he was in the box and not eating and getting fatter, that would be cool. Yeah. That'd be a magic trick.
People have lost their life, you know.
Well, yeah, that's
from starvation for a cause that, you know, they don't want to be hungry, and you know, it doesn't make any sense. But let me make a prediction for you. David Blaine, I predict, will probably end up in a hospital, and he might even drown.
No.
Yeah.
No, he won't drown.
I'm telling you, he probably will end up in a hospital. This is my prediction.
I think he'll go to a hospital.
And he will drown, he will die, something.
He won't die.
All right. No, I don't mean literally. I mean that's the spin that you're going to have at the end.
Oh, sure, of course.
It's going to be
a big spin. They've already started that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to do, you know, the holding the breath thing, you know, in our show. We're not doing
it right now. Trust me, he's not holding his breath for 9 minutes.
I know he's not.
I will trust me. You know, I mean, you guys
we
did,
do the water
you,
tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Teller does 11 and a half minutes. He did it on Broadway 8 times a week on Broadway. He did 11 and a half minutes. We were cheating. We were cheating. And when Lance Burton appears out of nowhere, he's cheating. You know what I mean? You do the tricks. That's what you're doing. So the number nine, and the free diving, and we also know how he's cheating.
Right.
He's just pumping oxygen in. All you need to do is have one person lie and say, no, it's just regular air, and it's fine. Or maybe he has another way because, you know, the mouth is not the only orifice. Maybe he's getting air pumped into him some other way.
Yeah. But I think the spin's going to be that he's going to drown or he's going to die and then he's going to come back to life, you know.
He but, also, you know, he doesn't really do escapes ever. So this escape is
it's interesting because I remember I think I did that in 2002 and I actually did the Houdini. That's what inspired me is Houdini doing the water torture cell.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting that he's kind of doing that now but in a fishbowl.
Yeah, it's kind of it's also odd that he calls it a human aquarium when it really is a swimming
pool. Oh yeah, yeah. And the temperature has let me tell you something, it's not easy to be in that situation. I've been there and it's quite difficult because the human body is not designed to be underwater. But I was literally encased in all six sides. I didn't have any contact with people. I literally drank Gatorade, threw a tube, peed in a bag. It was very uncomfortable.
So it's essentially
I didn't have
Larry Flint in the water.
Boy in a bubble.
Exactly. We'll be back after this. 866-313-FREE-3733. Chris Angel's here. If you want to talk to him, you can call up. We'll take some calls the next time. Don't you worry about it. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette at Free FM, 866-313-FREE-3733. We're here with Chris Angel. That's me playing bass, you know. And you did your theme song too, so we got to do something together. But I've got to read this Gmail because I think this may be this hit me directly in the face. This is just such a little nugget of truth. Penn and Michael, this is from Paul. One of my friends, a 23-year-old black woman, walked by the David Blaine bubble the other day. Her immediate reaction was only a white man. I inquired further as to what she meant, and she explained, I know black stupidity really well. This is white stupidity. White stupidity at Lincoln Center with David Blaine. Now, you just said this kind of in passing, and you've said it before, but let's just make it very, very clear. Any stupid stunt, let me put it in my words, any stupid stunt that David Blaine will do, any at all, doesn't matter what it is, no matter how painful, no matter how impossible, no matter how unpleasant, you will match him.
Anytime.
Second for second, pound for pound, anytime, any place. You'll take no money for it.
Absolutely.
You will give any money that comes from that, any publicity that comes from that, you will give to charity. And you've gone a step further and you've said, if he beats you, however that's defined,
I'll quit.
You'll quit show business.
Yeah. I'll run off to England and starve myself in a box.
And you mean that. You'll do whatever he says.
Absolutely. And you know what? The world's a big place for everybody, but it just has to come to it. I have a live show coming out. I have, you know, an album. I have the TV series. I'll put it all on the line.
And just anything he wants to do.
Anything he wants
to
do.
If he wants to hang by his nose and be attacked by gerbils,
sounds like
you'll be there. You'll be there. Let's take a phone call.
Oh, yeah. We got Frank on line one. Frank is at, I don't think it's line one. I don't remember what line it is. But Frank is at Lincoln Center. You got Frank.
Are you there, Frank?
That's line four. There it is.
Line four. You there, Frank?
Yeah, sort of. I can't hear you that well.
Okay, we'll try to talk clearly and loudly. Are you at Lincoln Center right now?
I am.
And what is it like? Tell us.
It's actually pretty crazy. A lot of people. Uh-huh. Looks great.
And is everybody just really digging it, or are there some people being snotty in New Yorker about it?
No, actually, I've been here a couple of days, and everyone's been really enthusiastic and happy.
And are you digging it?
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me what you like about it, how it touches you, what it means to you.
Well, I think not only is it a stunt, but it's actually like it's a beautiful piece, and having all these people from New York come out is a pretty beautiful thing.
So you like the gathering of people together kind of around it. Do you think that, do you feel like it's a magic trick, or do you feel like it's an event? Do you think there's bravery? Do you think it's endurance?
No, it's
is it like the Olympics?
It's a spectacle.
Spectacle. And do you... Did you go to some of other David Blaine stunts? Did you go to the flagpole sitting or the what's that?
No.
No, you didn't. But this one's kind of, you said you've been there more than one day, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Are there attractive women you're hitting on there?
What's that?
Are there attractive women that you're hitting on?
No, but there's quite a few models here, so that makes for better entertainment as well.
Now, are you able to get close enough that you can tap on the glass? Because, you know, any animal living in the glass box loves it when you tap on it.
What's that?
I said, are you able to get close enough to tap on the glass?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Here's the thing I wanted to ask Chris.
Go ahead.
So, here's the thing I wanted to ask Chris.
Sure.
I just don't understand why both of you seem to hate on him so much.
I don't hate him. I think what he's done for Magic is incredible.
Well,
I give him all the props in the world.
You said that the only reason why he's famous is because of his girlfriend.
Oh, no, no. What I'm saying is that a lot of people are fascinated with, you know, who people are dating as opposed to their art. And I think he falls in that category.
I'm quoting you exactly, bro.
I just gave you my answer, bro.
I think you have
Penn
to remember.
Just said he couldn't do any card tricks either. I mean, what's the deal?
That was Penn that said that.
That was me that said that. I said that in a very, very specific thing that David Blaine doesn't care about. That is to say, the ability to do heavy-duty finger flinging, which the heavy-duty stuff Chris can't do and I can't do either. We're talking about the heavy stuff, the Jamie Ian Swiss stuff, the Mike Close stuff, the Eric Mead stuff.
Paul Harris.
The Paul Harris stuff, that stuff, the really impossible.
How come we've never heard of these people then?
Exactly my point. I'm talking about, that's why I said it was about welding. I'm not saying that he should be able to do card tricks. I'm not saying you want him to do card tricks. I'm not saying anything except if you're asking a professional opinion, which you were.
He got famous doing card tricks. He must do something well.
Yes,
he does.
He does TV stuff very well. Really, really good. What you're saying is...
He's so good at doing card tricks that people like Chris Angel are copying him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The first special, he did that. What I'm saying is George Harrison was never that good a guitar player compared to Les Paul. If you're talking about just guitar playing, Les Paul is a lot better.
But George Harrison got more famous.
And if what you're talking about is fame, then you want George Harrison.
And on top of that, you have to do what you do live for a public performance, and he's never done a public performance in his life.
Yeah, he doesn't ever do stuff live.
I do.
That is true.
That is true.
He's never done a live show.
I've done 600 performances on Broadway.
Yeah.
I have a show opening.
I'm sorry?
He does walk around, I'm pretty sure.
He does walk around. We're talking about doing a Magic show, which he doesn't do, and doesn't claim to do.
Right.
We're not. If David Blaine were sitting here, he would agree with every single thing we've said. That's the most important thing.
He would agree with the fact that he's only famous because of his girlfriend?
He might not agree with that. But I'll tell you one thing. He sure would brag about his girlfriends. You can't be around him 5 minutes without him talking about Howard Stern with his girlfriend.
So he blatantly admits it. It's not anything bad.
I'll give him credit, man. Well, I'll try to get David Blaine on here because I think there's nothing. I would be shocked. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that David Blaine would not claim to be a world-class card technician. I think there's zero chance he would say that. Any more than George Harrison would have ever claimed to be a better guitar player than Les Paul.
Well, it's not for, like, the in-the-know people, like magicians and whatnot.
What's that?
But he's able to transcend that. And
there's no doubt about that. Everybody's agreeing with you on that. No one's arguing with you about that. We're just saying on this specific little minuscule thing, you know, this little tiny thing, Albert Schweitzer was not good at Chinese checkers. That's what we're saying. We're saying, you know, pick the best person who ever lived. Pick your favorite person. Bob Dylan is not particularly good at fixing a flat tire. We're saying David Blaine is the greatest, most talented, sexiest, most heroic person that ever lived. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ, don't make me laugh. I'm talking about every single hero you've ever heard about can't touch David Blaine, but he cannot do a decent second deal. That's all I'm saying. He can't deal second. It's a very limited thing. He's the sexiest man I know right now as you're speaking to me. You're looking at David Blaine, sir. Nothing has ever been sexier and more beautiful. But remember, as you look at David Blaine and you stare at his crotch, remember, the glass is convex. He looks bigger. He looks bigger to you. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, sir. You take some time. Hang up your cell phone. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM. And we'll take another call. Do you have another call?
Oh, you're taking another call?
Oh, my God.
I thought we were just going to pass out at that point. We have Jim on line one. I think this is a little more tame.
Okay.
Jim, you there?
Hey, Jim. How you doing, man?
Hello?
There he is.
Hi, hey, Jim. What's up, man?
Yeah, listen, I had a question.
Shoot.
Chris, when you did that show, when you picked up the car, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yes.
When you picked up the car, the tires didn't sag like the, you know, the when you ever jack up a car, the tires are the last thing to come off the ground.
Well, that's why a lot of that. To answer your question, that's why a lot of what I do is real, and a lot's an illusion. And if you think it's an illusion, you're probably right.
All right, there you go. Hey.
At least I'm honest. I'm an honest liar.
Perfectly said.
Thanks for watching.
There's a thing that was sent to us that I think is pretty great. On April 5th, 1999, Blaine spent 7 days, this is from Wikipedia, spent 7 days buried inside a glass coffin at the bottom of an open pit in front of an office building owned by Donald Trump in New York City, where passersby could view him 24 hours a day. And this is a quote from David Blaine. There were Jewish Hasids, I guess because there are other kind of Hasids, but there were Jewish Hasids standing next to Muslim cab drivers who were next to black kids. Businessmen in designer suits stood beside heavily pierced street kids. Every conceivable social type was represented, recalls Blaine. I saw something truly incredible. I saw every race, every age group, and every religion gathered together smiling, and that made everything worth it. I saw magic. So David is saying very clearly here that whenever you gather a crowd, whatever the crowd is, as long as they're focused on something other than themselves and something other than their differences, there's something beautiful going on. And there's nobody that's going to disagree with them there. You know,
absolutely
one of the
not.
Great feelings of doing a show, and you worked on Broadway. We did Broadway for thousands of shows. When you do that, even on Broadway, we have a high ticket price and people come in to see a show. Seeing people gathered together to do something
laughing
is always beautiful.
And
when you go to like a big show, you know, there's nothing greater than going to like a Stones concert or something. And you see that mass of humanity, and everybody's together, and nothing evil is happening, nothing bad, which is the important thing about this. You know, no matter how much I monkey with the guy who called in from the David Blaine thing, he's not doing anything bad. We're talking about arguments about taste. We're talking about making fun of somebody, having a good time. We know him. We're just monkeying around with him, and he's not doing anything bad. And that's the thing that. You know, when people talk about a movie sucking or not liking this or not liking that, you have to remember that the person that's talking about it sucking is not saying that what these people did was evil or right. bad. They're just saying we didn't like it. But the idea of doing a magic trick, the idea of getting out in public and gathering a crowd and doing something that you think is important from your heart is a beautiful thing no matter who does it.
And I think it's a good thing.
Sure, it's
I do.
A great
I
thing.
Think it's a good thing because, you know, it brings the public awareness of magic up, and I also think that what you pointed out as far as doing these demonstrations and bringing people together, it's a very nice.
Well, it's a very very nice quote from David Blaine, and he'll be coming out tonight, and his show is on ABC, and he's doing 2 hours, and I've been told from the inside track, and this is one thing, you know, I've told you from the point of view of magicians that he's no finger flinger. I've been told by somebody that I respect. As much as anyone in magic, that the people working on the special and the people that were around him said there is going to be a lot of magic in this special. And maybe if we were talking tomorrow, we'd be shutting up about him not doing much magic because maybe he's going to do great magic tonight. And his first TV special, the first David Blaine special, the Street Magic special,
is great.
Is, I believe, the finest magic
great.
Special that's ever been done on TV, not even present company excluded. I think it was a beautiful thing that opened up a whole different way. And the genius behind that special was taking the attention off the magic and putting it on the people watching.
Absolutely.
And that was an idea that no one else had had. And Houdini didn't have that idea. Copperfield didn't have that idea. We didn't have that idea. And it's a really great thing to say, you know, it might be more interesting to see people being amazed and people being blown away than to see what was amazing them and what was blowing them away. So, David, good luck. And don't get hurt, you know, because you're just supposed to be doing this. It's all supposed to be fun. Anytime, any place. Chris Angel will match anything you do, and that would gather a crowd. This is Penn Jillette. Stay out of the water.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.